the inside is right. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us, to some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody, and welcome. Happy Easter. Again, we're
in Happy Easter.
In the octave.
In the octave.
Got 50 days. 50 days of Easter. Actually, 40 days plus the 9 days, the novena. The 50 days. The 50 days of Easter. 40 days. 40 days of Lent, 40 days of Easter, the Ascension, novena. The 9 days that lead to the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of the Birth of the Church, and so anyway. So it's Tuesday, right? Tuesday?
It's Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Happy Easter. What happened to Geraldine? She's not here.
She's donating blood.
She's donating blood, yeah. She's always donating blood, huh?
She is.
Anyway.
She's very generous.
She's got hot blood, too, doesn't she, really?
That's why they want her blood.
Exactly.
It's good blood. They want it.
They want it. It's
how
strong.
How are you guys today, so?
Okay.
Tony,
I know, you
just...
said you... What's the problem now?
Because I just don't feel right today.
What's wrong?
I don't know why.
Because the sun's not shining.
No, I actually like
you
it.
You like it when it says
it's
right.
It's always gloomy in Tony's world, right?
Yeah, it is gloomy in my world. I'm so interested in it. Just not feeling good.
Then you all identify with this... This, you know, one of the things, actually, this is a good way to begin the show because, how are you, Christina? You're okay?
I'm doing great. Busy, but yeah, hey, that's just life.
Just life in general.
Funeral's coming in this week already.
Another
seeing
one.
Us, you know, there's
yet
no,
another one.
No let
there's
up, really.
No rest for us.
No, it's amazing. By the time I got into the Mass in the evening yesterday, because I was working on the letter, as I
yes.
said, you know, even as I came into the show yesterday, and, but... With the door, you know, because you were gone. You came for the radio, but you were gone, so the house was closed.
Skipped
the
town.
Office was closed, but the door kept ringing. The doorbell kept ringing.
Yeah, people can't read the sign that's up there in English and Spanish.
Exactly.
Is anyone answering?
Why aren't they? And it's right there in
their
face.
Well, these were the Italians coming, so they couldn't read the Spanish. And I no, really, but so you know, I'm trying to keep this focus because when you're right, you got to focus, you know, because you're in a reflective mood, and. I got a paragraph here and a paragraph there, and then I forgot where, you know, what was I thinking about? Because every so often, and it was, you know what it was? It was most of the phone call, not the phone calls, but the door, the calls at the door
mm-hmm.
were for plumbing and
for maintenance.
Electricity maintenance and all that kind of
so
stuff.
That so that's not my department.
That's not your department,
okay.
So no, I don't. Certainly, you deserve the day off. You know,
well, there's, after there's this no whole, problem. It was a marathon.
It was a marathon.
Beautiful,
so.
But.
Yeah. Anyway, that's why I look forward to being gone in January. I keep thinking January. I see. Is there any light at the end of this tunnel? You know, I mean, we're in the
there
Easter
is.
Season, so we're in the season of light, right? Mm-hmm. As Christmas is a season of light, and so what are the words that would characterize or define? Let's say define Easter. Some of the words. Just give me some words that would define Easter.
Light is good.
Don't be afraid. I'm with
right.
you. I'm with you always.
Spring,
yeah, resurrection. Okay. Resurrection.
I'm thinking like peace and joy and light and hope, right?
Oh, okay. Yes.
Those are the hope and peace and joy and light. I mean, that's what should characterize or constitute, characterize, define mm-hmm. our lives as Christians. And yet, you know, like Tony comes in feeling
blah
and depressed and all that, and then kind of brings us all
that's
down into his own darkness.
Yeah, thank you for your support.
So, but anyway, but actually, you know, that's the battle of life, isn't it? Really, to keep hope and to keep looking toward the light and keep peace because God, you know, the Lord knows that every day that peace can be easily disturbed. It doesn't take
yes.
much, right?
Oh yep. yes.
So, but anyway, it's true. And so I was. So let's share. It kind of ties into the my message on Sunday, and I might be repeating, as I repeat all the time. But again, yeah, I say you have to hear it seven times to remember. I say 70 times seven, 70 times seven to remember. But in any case, I was, because I think the theme last week was, I started out, I mean, I said last week I'm talking about the weekend for the feast of Easter was breaking out of pessimism, right? Speaking for myself, you know, because I say, and I've said it so often on the radio that I sometimes think of myself as a pessimist. Actually, I was thinking even this morning as I was reflecting, and that even when I was in eighth grade, I remember how odd I was, an odd person, really, an eccentric. I think that's why I like eccentric people, because I probably am a bit of an eccentric, wouldn't you say? A little bit, I don't know.
Yeah, I think we all have a little bit of that in our.
Perhaps, some but I mean, some are weirder
well, some,
than others.
Some are, yeah, just plain weird.
Weird. Well, I don't mean weird, weird, like weird.
Weird.
Necessarily weird. Bags. Odd.
Odd is odd, better.
Creepy?
Odd.
No.
Creepy. Well, that's, you know.
I could be creepy. I'm weird, but odd, I think, is better.
Well, you're a little bit of all. I think you're kind of all that. Yeah, I would categorize you in all those. I put you in all those categories. Great. You know, yeah. You know, weird.
That's
creepy.
Why he attracts his friends are that the same.
No. No, but
careful,
seriously.
Some of them are listening.
Oh, wow.
But they know it.
Do you know his friends?
Some.
Does he have friends? He's got friends.
He's got one or two.
But you'll like this, Tony, because you'll understand this. I think you'll relate to this really well. But anyway, I was thinking when I was in the eighth grade, I remember for the, we had, you know, you write in the autograph book. They do that.
That's,
you know,
right,
eighth,
yes.
For some reason, eighth grade, because you're going into high school. You're leaving junior high, going into high school. We were living in Delaware at the time. We were stationed at Dover Air Force Base. No. What? I'm sorry. No. Where were we? I
we're
lived there when I was
the
in
place,
the seventh
Father.
Grade. Yeah. Anyway, wherever I was. I just remember writing, you know, the, or maybe it was, yeah, it was junior high school. But anyway, the point is that my messages or my commentary or my exhortation or my preaching, this is a preaching to my peers, to my friends, was, it was always, you know, about, I remember, you know, because it was, you know, you write one, you write them all, it's kind of the same message, but it was about at the end of the journey and, you know, and at the end of all things. And I thought, here I am, you know, how many years later, and I'm still
doing that.
And that's all, but even then, it was kind of odd for somebody in the seventh or eighth grade to speak in such a way, you know. It was almost like, you know, we don't want to think about the end of all things or the end of the journey.
Well, you were always wise, right, Father?
Well, thank you, Christine. I don't know if you're saying that tongue in cheek or not, but no, I'm hoping to become wise. I'm trying to be wise.
Why is she laughing?
No, I'm laughing. No, I'm not laughing.
She's looking right at me and laughing because I'm so funny.
Yeah, he's kind of like, you know what I mean, Tony. You know?
Right.
Yeah, he thinks he's so wise.
No,
I told somebody, Juan, poor guy. In fact, I thought about it. I couldn't sleep. This young guy, he was a server, Juan Martinez.
Juan, yes.
Juan's son, Juan
Jr. Yes,
Juan
Jr.
So we were, what was it? Thursday, because it was
Thursday.
Holy Thursday. And we were getting ready for Holy Friday, it's Good Friday. And they were leaving. We had had the liturgy, the services and all that, and they were leaving. And we were just talking as we were leaving, and something about because she said that, because Arminda had to come the next day.
Yes.
Early, because she had to dress the Blessed Virgin.
Yes.
In the clothes for grieving. For
yes.
Grieving. And so the question was, well, who's going to let you in? Because we've got radio. And she said, well, Christina's not going to be on the radio. And I said, oh, that's okay. Well, she's not needed anyway. I mean, you know, so that's okay. And then I said, you know, I'm the star of the show, and Juan is there. You know, the little Juan is not really that little.
Tall.
He's in high school,
right. Junior.
And you know, I was just joking, you know,
right.
Of course, because I'm, you know, anything but the star of the show.
Well, you know who's the star? We
it's
all
me.
Know, it's God.
It's
he's the center.
He is. That's right. And we have to be reminded about that too. But the point
but you're
was
the host.
Well,
you're the main. Yeah.
Whatever, you know. But the point is that he just kind of looked at me like
he was like,
"Look at you!
Yeah, who do you think?
Check him.
Who do you,
check
where's
Father
your,
out.
Where's your humility?
Yeah, really. Was he for me? Check Father out.
So all night I was thinking about this. I had to see him the next day. I said, "Juan, you know, I felt so bad because I didn't want you to think that I thought that." And he says, "I know, you know, he
he's
knows.
Like,
he says,
I know. You're
see,
joking.
Nobody knows your humor."
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Or they respond in like manner, right?
Right.
If I'm serious, joking, they'll respond back.
And, right.
I don't know if your cousin Darlene's listening, but she said, you're not funny.
You're not funny.
What?
She was on the radio one time and you said something. You were joking and she said, you're not funny.
You're not funny.
She did say, that went right over my head.
Well, she.
I feel pretty bad now.
Did she say that?
On the radio, did she say that?
Tongue in cheek, Father. Right. It runs in the family, Father, doesn't it?
I don't know. But she's funny.
She's funny because she says,
she'll compliment you. And then she waits for a compliment back. She's okay.
No, and if not, I take it back.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, anyway. Well, but getting back to Tony's depression or his darkness, his gloominess. You'll like this. So yesterday I was preparing. I was starting to think, well, what am I going to – I got to write – prepare the letter for Sunday, for the Divine Mercy Sunday. So I wanted to get it done yesterday because I knew that today's the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
But
and then you got the funerals.
Got the funerals coming in. So mm-hmm. I got to do it. And you've got to have the time and space and the focus to do it. And like as I said, it was being disrupted all the while. But in the morning, you always put it in God's hands, Lord, just help me to guide me. Don't let me get in the way and what do you want to say? What do you want to say to me? What do you want to say to others, And we know that we tend to project onto others what we're going through. So you really try to get yourself out of the way, knowing that you're going to get in the way. And I went to the chapel. And this, all of a sudden, this song came into my mind, and it's a song that I hadn't thought about, and it wasn't like I really ever really listened to. But I remember as a young child, it was probably maybe about 10 years old. No, probably 10, 11, 12 years old, whatever. But I remember hearing that, and I thought, I always remembered those the certain lyrics because it just resonated with me for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's why I'm saying, in junior high, I would write those very philosophical notes to my friends, and they thought, he's really out there, isn't he? very odd. Because I told you, I don't know if that's true, but after my graduation, high school graduation, now we're going into high school, so I'm a bit older, about 18 years old, and I was pretty active. I was the president of the senior class and the junior class and the senior class, and I was very active. This is as God is my merciful judge, I'm telling you, in all honesty. At the end of the, and I was one of the main speakers at the graduation. We had about 600-some students in our high school. And do you know that I wasn't invited to, I wasn't invited to a party? Nothing. Mm.
Well, how many friends did you have?
I thought I had a lot of friends, But, it was kind of odd because...
And there were parties going...
Parties everywhere because it's a beach town. It's on the Gulf Coast. And everybody, I had lots of friends, but I was really not part of any group, so to speak. I was like a Jeremiah, as I always say, I love Jeremiah because here I am. Sitting in the center, in the midst of these merrymakers, sitting alone under the weight of your hand, oh, woe is me. Yeah. But that was fine. But, it was kind of strange, because after everybody left, we were bused from not the stadium, now they have graduations in the stadiums, but it was in the city hall, civic hall.
Mm, okay.
So we were bused from there back to the high school. And then we got off the bus, everybody's going, then they're leaving for their parties. And a lot of people, they spend the night out on the beach and all kinds of stuff, It was probably better that I wasn't invited to any parties, But I remember, and I was there until the last person was gone, People were saying hi, and everybody's crying and all that. And then all of a sudden, I'm there, and I'm standing alone in this parking lot. And I thought, nobody even invited, I wasn't invited to a party. So
That's interesting.
It's okay. It's just the way it is. It's still the case. Still the case.
Yeah, life
nothing
goes
is
on.
Nothing changes. So.
Well, we say life goes on.
Life goes on.
It's funny how life prepares you for the future.
I never
thought about that. The things I think of now, and I think, okay, well, that's why.
Oh, it makes sense now.
It makes sense. If I knew back then what I know now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have this sense that if we were all to go back to second grade, all of us, and we would recognize each and every one. Because I don't know that we're really that different than we were when we were in the second grade.
It's true.
Isn't that?
It's true. We could even be worse. Could be worse. I'm saying for myself. Not
you better not be saying for me.
I can see Christina. It's the second grade, just beating everybody up. I can see that.
That was bad.
No, I don't picture. I picture Christina as being really good and quiet. No. And
you know what, Father?
Kind of timid.
You're right.
I am.
And I said, and I told Jerry that if I would have died as a young girl, I would have been a saint. I would have died as a saint because I was very innocent and naive. And of course, that went all of that went away. But as a child,
well,
I was very innocent.
Kind of what I was writing about in this letter. I would love to see Jerry.
I would love to see Jerry when
I think Jerry was a strong.
She was,
rebel.
Yeah. Well, she always tells us she's the one who was chosen by the nuns to ring the bell. They kept her away. What they did is they kept her away from the other students.
I think they had to.
Can you imagine? Anyway,
it's kind of like I can. It's like picturing my grandmother as a child, very mischievous. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. Knowing your grandmother, that was God rest her soul.
She was tough.
Anyway, she was. She was. So going back to this, well, I tell you what, let's take a break and then we'll come back and we'll go into this because really, our call is we have to challenge ourselves away from pessimism, not necessarily into optimism, but certainly into hope because there's a difference. There's a difference. We have to be realist. All right, everybody, we will be right back and get down to some serious stuff. Really, I hope. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen and Support of Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Sunday, April 12th, is Divine Mercy Sunday. And the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago is at St. Stanislaus Kostka on Divine Mercy Sunday, April 12th. There will be masses in English, Polish, and Spanish. And English and Spanish confessions, a recitation of the Holy Rosary, and the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Bring yourself to Christ's infinite well of mercy. Divine Mercy Sunday, April 12th at St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. For complete information, go to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the link of the Holy Week schedule of services. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Hello, I'm William Neal of Project Fourth Stream. We will be performing a benefit concert with the church choir and guest soprano Josephine Stoppelberg on April 11th at 7:30 at St. Stanislaus Kostka Church in Chicago. We have entitled the concert Notris Voces, Out of Darkness into Light, because the music, quietly passionate and reflective, will explore the themes of darkness and illumination. Music is a blend of classical and jazz improvisation and has been inspired by the recently restored artifacts in the Church's Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy.
The Nostras Voces concert is a fundraiser for St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish, located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. The concert is this Saturday evening, April 11th, at 7:30. Tickets $25 for adults, $40 for families. That's adult parents with minor children. High school and college students, $10. Purchase tickets online by visiting sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. Tickets also available at the door the day of the concert.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. Now, let's see. I'm going to see if my cousin's listening, Darlene, because she'll know these songs. She should know this song because she's from that era. That's before my time.
You were
she's
asking
quite a bit
me yesterday, Father. Oh, do you know that's that song? And you started singing. And I'm like, that's way before.
Way before your time. No, but she should remember this, and anybody in that era. And I'm not going to say what bracket
era?
That is, but because I'm just a couple of years younger, you know, to be honest. But in those days, you know, a couple of years made a big difference, actually. So, but this is a. Yesterday, I was, tired, first of all, because of the Triduum, and it was just beautiful. Everything was so beautiful. Sure, so we talked about that. Yes, it was just so beautiful. Just, but it goes so fast, and it's over. But it's what a wonderful time just to focus and to be present to God and to each other, you know, in such a beautiful way through the whole Triduum. But so I had to get this letter. So I want to get this letter done yesterday, knowing that, of course, I've got these funerals and all that coming up. And so I was tired, so I didn't have the focus. And, of course, that focus was disrupted, as I said, all through the day. But as I went into the chapel, and I says, okay, you know, Lord, you're going to have, where do you want me? What am I? I don't feel like thinking. So it's kind of like you're going to have to think for me, you know. You have to think for me. And this song came into my head. And I just, I remembered it from the time I was in junior high school. For some reason, it did stick, but not that I had thought about it. And so I began the first paragraph just, you know, reflecting on the lyrics. And so I'm going to, it's a little simple. It's a simple song. It's a very simple song, but it was made popular by somebody who I'm not going to say right now, because I want to see if any people out there in Radio Land, see if my cousin, hopefully she'll get back to you.
Or maybe Marky's,
yeah, it could be. Marky's a bit younger, though. She's probably Tony's age, I think, isn't she?
I think she is.
Yeah, so that's quite a bit younger. But she might know this, you know. Who knows? But anyway, this song is about a little girl, or it starts out, I should say. First of all, it captured the thoughts and the feelings of many in view of, you know, life's disappointments, right? Many disappointments in the course of a life. And the background of the song was a world gone up in flames when a little girl's home is consumed by a raging fire. And then the song goes on. When she was 12 years old, the girl's father took her to the greatest show on earth. And in spite of the clowns and the elephants and the dancing bears, in spite of the beautiful lady in pink tights flying high above the girl's head, the 12-year-old had the feeling that that something was missing. She was kind of disappointed. Something was missing. And then some years later, she would meet this most wonderful man, the most wonderful man in the world. And they would take long walks, and they would sit for hours, and they would gaze into each other's eyes. And they were very much in love. And then one day he just went away, and she thought she'd die. But she didn't die. And so the misfortunes of life left her feeling rather depressed. So she decided she would just dance and drink her life away. Maybe Luce would know this song. I wonder if she's listening.
Maybe she might know.
Yeah. Not Luce.
Luce Van Dyke.
Yes, I wonder. Sure. She would know. I wonder. Okay. So she decided she was, because of the misfortunes of her life, feeling rather depressed, she decided she would just dance and drink her life away, anticipating life's last disappointment, which is death itself, right? So that was the starting point, because life is a curious thing, right? Mm-hmm. Life is interesting. And the point I wanted to make is that unless we allow ourselves to get swept into God's divine mystery, we run the temptation of making the mantra, her song, our own. I wonder if Armin knows that song. I don't know. Are you listening? Do you know what that song
Armin
is?
Armin knows it.
Yeah, you got to know it.
He knows it.
He knows it.
He's got to know it.
So anyway, if I say Peggy Lee, let's see.
Are you thinking Fever?
No. That's another one.
No, that's the other. Page.
That's a whole other one. Yeah.
Fever.
I remember that one too. Yeah.
I know that one.
No, is that all there is? Is that all there is? Because that's the mantra.
That's it.
You remember that? Yeah.
I was just teasing you.
Yeah. No.
Probably knew the
you
words
weren't teasing. You knew you were Fever. But is that all there is? Because that's the mantra of the song. That's the as she's, you know, telling
that's
the story
it.
Of her disappointments. No, it goes, is that all there is? Is that all there is?
How did it go, Father?
If that's all there is, my friend. Well, here are the actual lyrics. Go ahead, Armin. Go ahead.
Well, is that all there is? If that's all there is, then let's just keep dancing.
And bring out the booze.
And bring out the booze.
And have a ball.
And have a ball.
I'll have a drink to that.
Nick, you've heard that before?
What's that?
Have you heard that? That's way before your time.
No, he's younger than that.
maybe not. I've heard different things.
But he's Superman. He's got the Superman shirt on today.
He knows.
Just keep the kryptonite away from him.
Yeah.
Kryptonite. Yeah, I mean, I'm doing pretty well today because just found out, too, my friend Kimberly, who went through back surgery, she's doing well.
Good.
I just talked to her, and she's recovering very well.
Good.
I'm actually going to see her after here. So.
Fantastic. No, that's good to know. Thank God. And as that makes me think, remember,
Becky
is one of
surgery.
One of our parishioners is going to have major surgery on
tomorrow.
But that
tomorrow.
Thing you're talking about, I might have heard it, but not so sure.
What's that?
The song.
So sure. Anyways, as Armin said, I was supposed to say it, but he came in and gave it away. But the song goes like this. And we'll get into the point is, you see what you think. She says, I remember when I was a very little girl, our house caught on fire. I never forgot the look on my father's face as he gathered me up in his arms and raced through the burning building out to the pavement. I stood there shivering in my pajamas and watched the whole world go up in flames. And when it was all over, I said to myself, is that all there is to a fire? And in the refrain, is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball if that's all there is. Now, when I was 12 years old, my daddy took me to a circus, the greatest show on earth. There were clowns and elephants and dancing bears, and a beautiful lady in pink tights flew high above our heads. And as I sat there watching, I had the feeling that something was missing. I don't know what, but when it was over, I said to myself, is that all there is to a circus? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball if that's all there is. And then I fell in love with the most beautiful boy in the world, and we would take long walks by the river or just sit for hours gazing into each other's eyes. We were so very much in love. Then one day he went away, and I thought I'd die, but I didn't. And when I didn't, I said to myself, is that all there is to love? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. And what I say, bring out the booze and have a ball, if that's all there is. I know you must be saying, she says to yourselves, if that's the way she feels, Tony, if that's the way she feels about why it doesn't, you know, if that's the way she feels about it, why doesn't she just end it all? Oh, no, not me, she says. I'm not in a hurry for that final disappointment, because I know just as well as I'm standing here talking to you that when that final moment comes and I'm breathing my last breath, I'll be saying to myself, is that all there is? Is that all there is? Well, if that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball if that's all there is. Hmm. You know?
Marky sent me a message. I used to sing that song a lot as a child.
God forbid that she would sing such a song.
But it reminds me of Marky. I know you're listening. When we went to that trip to Mother Angelica and we went to have breakfast and they gave her a sausage and it was a small little thing like the lady, you know, where's the piece?
Is that all there is?
And so Marky's like, is this all I'm going to
get?
That's all you're going to get.
That's funny. No,
that's precious. That's
but,
awesome.
What's the point of all that though? What's the point of it all? Is that all there is? Because as we're in the octave, and as the church celebrates the Divine Mercy Sunday, the most beautiful attribute of God is His mercy, insofar as what He means to free us from the many disappointments of life. I mean, we're mere human beings, and too often we get a taste of life's deep pleasures only to be disappointed at how fleeting they are, right?
Yeah.
So with that, I want to think about that. We'll come back to that. Think about that. What is it about life? Life is a curious thing, right? Mm-hmm. And again, it's one thing to be pessimistic. It's another thing to be realistic. But being realistic, to maintain oneself in hope. Because sometimes there isn't cause for optimism. It, you know, when you see what's happening all around, right? But, Nick, you concur with that.
Yeah, I'm an optimist.
So you're an
optimist. I try to look on the bright side all the time.
Good. Okay. All right. That's good.
Good for you.
Good for you, Nick. I wish I were an optimist. But I don't think that I'm not an optimist. I do think I have hope.
Mm-hmm.
But I keep chiding myself for pessimism, but it's not pessimism. It's realism. Anyway, think about that. Think about the reality of life. Because I say, you know, as I say, as Christians, even in the Easter season, because I mentioned on Sunday that Easter joy is born from deep suffering, a deep suffering. We don't skirt the issues. You know, we have the courage to enter into the reality and there to give witness, right? Hopefully we give witness in joy, in hope, and in peace. But we're not flying high, so we have to live in reality. We don't have to. We choose, right? We choose. But in any case, as human beings, as mere human beings, too often we get a taste of life's deep pleasures, only to be disappointed at how fleeting they are. So we're going to take a break, and we'll kind of pick up on that. Okay, think about that. Be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Sunday, April 12th, is Divine Mercy Sunday. And the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago is at St. Stanislaus Kostka on Divine Mercy Sunday, April 12th. There will be masses in English, Polish, and Spanish. And English and Spanish confessions, a recitation of the Holy Rosary, and the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Bring yourself to Christ's infinite well of mercy. Divine Mercy Sunday, April 12th at St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. For complete information, go to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the link of the Holy Week schedule of services. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Glory to Jesus Christ. Hello, I'm Father Thomas Loyer of the Tabor Life Institute. I'm inviting you to an opportunity to be pierced by the sheer beauty of God's plan for your life, to make the connection between God, sex, and the meaning of life.
As Father Loya invites you to hear renowned speaker and author Christopher West, Saturday, April 25th at St. Mary Immaculate Parish in Plainfield, Illinois.
Original sin for all of us, for every human being on the planet, has disoriented our desires. We often find ourselves hungry for things that don't satisfy the ache, don't satisfy the need.
Join Christopher Saturday, April 25th from 6:30 till 9:30 p.m. at St. Mary Immaculate Parish, 15629 South Route 59, Plainfield, Illinois. Limited seating. Register online to coreseminar.evenbright.com. Core spelled C-O-R, Bright spelled B-R-I-T-E.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Yes, if that's all there is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's just keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball, and if that's all there is. The point being is that life is full of disappointments. Mm-hmm. And as I said before the break, we are mere human beings. And too often we too often get a taste of life's deep pleasures. I'm talking about the deep pleasures, only to be disappointed at how fleeting they are. For example, or can you guys give me an example? I've got a couple of examples
of life's disappointments.
Yeah, the fleeting. You get a taste of deep pleasure, only to be disappointed about how fleeting they are. Go ahead.
I need to think of.
Oh, you go ahead, Tony.
No, I'm trying to think of like maybe getting a job and. You know, this is the best thing. You're making a lot of money, and then all of a sudden, it's not as fulfilling as you would think, and then you end up hating it.
Or when you buy stuff, you know how materialism people are buying and just
to
fill
iPhone,
that void, the iPhone,
then you're empty.
And then it's like after you receive it and you're using, and it's like it wasn't that much as what you anticipated more, and it's a disappointment.
Okay, well, let's go a little deeper than these.
Okay.
Those are very shallow examples. come on. No, really, you're right. Think about this, you know, because I've seen this. I've watched this over the years. You know, we watch from afar the bliss, right, the bliss of a young man and a young woman during the years of their courting, and their love for each other becomes really the joy, the envy of others. And then the day of their wedding is full of just full of festivity, which is shared by the family and friends. But not too long after, the wear and the tear of life's labor takes its toll, and much of that joy seemingly evaporates. Would you say?
Yes.
Yeah, you see that. Nothing compares to the birth of a baby, right? The beauty of a baby, a newborn. But with the blink of an eye, the infant child is a teenager. And with another blink of the eye, an adult, right?
Yes.
And the welcoming of new life in innocence is disrupted by the quickness with which that life is afflicted by the snares of the world, mm-hmm. right?
It's like young people, when they're, let's say, children, and they hate that they're always told what to do. Well, I can't wait. I can't wait to be an adult so I could do what I want. And then when you become an adult, you wish you could go back to your childhood.
Sure.
Because when you become an adult and life is so, you're full of more responsibilities, and it's not what you thought it would be.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, yeah. I concur with that.
So, my father.
But no. The point is, I was making you cut me off right in the middle of this.
Oh gosh.
Christina.
Okay, go ahead. I'm not gonna say anything.
No. Just hold.
Your horses.
Hold your the point, like the mother is so, you know, the great joy at the birth of her baby, mm-hmm. and then too often, and too soon, the mother's joy for her newborn child becomes what? But the a heart that suffers for her mm-hmm. wayward son or daughter. I see this all the time, mm-hmm. and what's our lot in life? The life of us all. If we're blessed with many years of life, we ask ourselves how quickly we got from there to here. Right?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, yeah. I know what you're saying.
And how is it that once in the vigor of life? Mm-hmm. In the youth of our life, with the freedom to roam the world, we could find ourselves confined to a chair or a bed only to ruminate mm-hmm. on the people and events of a lifelong journey. And then as we approach the door of death, we may be tempted to ask, is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's just keep dancing and bring out the booze. But the problem then is the legs have stiffened and the friends are gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that reality?
Yes.
There's more booze for me then.
We're like that song. But
what?
Go ahead, Father. I'm not saying anything.
No, go ahead. What do you
The Rose, where did everybody go? The Rose, where did everybody go?
The song The Rose?
The Rose.
What about it?
The same thing. She had a hard life and then she's singing and then it just became dark. Mm-hmm. And she said, where did everybody go?
Who's she?
Bette Midler.
The Rose. Janis Joplin. It was on the life of Janis.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that. No, yeah. I like Janis Joplin, actually. I was a little sad when she mm-hmm. when she departed mm-hmm. in such a tragic way.
But again, where did everybody go?
Sing the song. Now it's in my mind.
The Rose. Do you know how it goes? So
I know how it goes. But I'm not going to sing it.
Come on,
it's a sad song. Go ahead, Father.
Sing a few.
I'm not going to sing it. I don't even know the song.
No, I'm saying just go ahead. It's a letter.
I can continue.
Right. Yeah, I'm sorry.
So no, don't be sorry. You're always sorry, but then you're not sorry, you know. So, but the really it goes back to these deep and fleeting pleasures of life. They will leave us disappointed unless we put our faith in Jesus. And I mean this very seriously because Jesus raised from the dead. But the question is, do we believe? And we talked about this yesterday. But most, and I was anticipating the feast of the Divine Mercy where Jesus. Were the doubting Thomas,
mm-hmm.
and that would be the doubting Tony or the doubting Christina or the doubting Armin, not the doubting Nick. Nick is the optimist here, so he's flying high. It's like we want to see the nail marks in the hands of Jesus and put our hand into his wounded side so that we might believe. And yes, the Lord said, you know, blessed are those who have not seen and have believed, But he knows that we're made of clay.
Mm-hmm.
He knows this. And so he knows, he understands that the journey of life will leave many of us disappointed and depressed. Have I depressed you? Tony, do you feel worse now?
No.
You should feel better.
I can never. I'm feeling better,
But see, for this, Jesus says to each and every one, he says, put your finger here and see my hands and bring your hand and put it into my side and do not be unbelieving, but believe. In other words, he's calling us to touch his wounds. We say of the Lord that he's a wounded healer. He's calling us to touch his wounds. The Lord assures us that he spared himself nothing of what we suffer. And yet now, beyond the door of death, he lives forevermore. So we're destined to share in the joy. In the joy of the risen Lord is cause for gratitude at such merciful love. And as we, I think we spoke about this yesterday, but the what is the pledge of that love? The promise. Well, the Holy Eucharist is the pledge of a promise Jesus made and a promise he kept, right? This is the fount of the divine mercy. This is the bath of blood where we're cleansed and our thirst is satiated, that one day we will know indeed that Jesus truly makes all things new. And that brings me back to the book of Revelation. I like to speak about this all because when I read this, I just thought, wow, this is such a powerful image. The saints in heaven and are praising God. And again, the elder from heaven is looking to John, who's a prisoner on the island of Patmos. From there, he's writing the book of Revelation because it's based on this whole experience that he has. And the elder, one of the four elders in heaven, looking to John, says, who are these people? Where have they come from? All these people dressed in white with the palm branches and are praising God, singing to the Lord. They're from all the nations and all the languages and all the tribes and the peoples of the world. There's so many people you can't count the number. So where have they come from? And John says, well, sir, you know better than I. You're there. I'm here. And the elder said, well, yes. He said, these are the ones who have survived. They've survived the time of trial and tribulation. They've survived the time of distress, the time of oppression, the time of persecution, the time of disappointments. They've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And the Eucharist is our being washed in a perpetual way in the blood of the Lamb, that our thirst be satiated. Remember Jesus from the cross, he says, I thirst. Mother Teresa just, this is really what most defines her mission, her personal consecration and her mission to the people of God, is that Jesus wants that his thirst be satiated. In other words, bring me souls. So Jesus will make all things new. Now, already in the midst of the disappointments of life, because I think we can't argue that, right? Mm-hmm. Argue that. That is a reality. There is disappointment. As I used a few examples, you guys might have some more examples, maybe some deeper examples than the ones you gave a few minutes ago. But
I think that the disappointments also help us to stay grounded and keeps us humble. They humble us.
Why? How is that? Why is that?
Because, you know, we have our moments where we're on Mount Tabor and we're flying high, and then, you know, we
come down.
We have to come down.
Right.
And come down to reality.
It keeps us grounded. Yeah, it's humbling. You know, it should make us a compassionate,
and
empathetic
with others
people. You know, because you don't really want, maybe some people do, but you don't want to hang out with people who are flying high, because it's not reality.
It's not reality, right? And it helps us to we're on the same boat. We're in it together in this journey. We have to help one another and walk to. And I'll never forget when Jerry had mentioned that when somebody's down, we're not all going to be down at the same time.
Right.
We're going to be down at different times, and that's where we pick each other
up.
We lift each other up, and we keep going.
So it's a little different than misery loves company, because, and that's kind of the tone of the song, right? Misery loves company. Mm-hmm, so let's just drown it. You know, let's just dance it away.
Yeah.
Drink it.
The pain away.
Right. So, in the midst of the disappointments of life, Jesus, he invites us to his peace. You know, this is the gift, that's the Easter gift of our Lord. The gift of the risen Lord is not to be afraid, but to be at peace, to be at peace. It's an enduring peace because he remains with us. And he assures us that the best is yet to come. He says, I'm going to my Father, to your Father, there to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you will be. And so we needn't fear. This is just don't be afraid, be at peace. And so, yes, for sure, my friends, you know, we dance mm-hmm. and we drink, not to excess mm-hmm. And not to drown the disappointments, but at the joy of the festive feast, right? The festive yes. feast that awaits those who walk in faith. So that was my reflection yesterday in anticipation of the Divine Mercy Sunday. But it's how God put, I say God because I've asked the Lord, you got to speak, but that put mm-hmm. that song, remember that song? Mm-hmm. Is that all there is? It really quite interesting, isn't it?
It's all right. Speak, very much. Lord, your servant listens. Go, Father, go.
No, you're right.
If you could see the look.
The look on Father's face. Darlene, Darlene's listening too, by the way. So.
How do you know?
Because she sent me
that silence and then the look. It's just
beautiful. The look.
Well, we're going to take a break.
Yes,
we're
going to
take a
break.
Final break. We're going to come back and we're going to wrap up. And you guys are going to talk about other experiences of life or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever you want to sure. talk about. Just let it be deep and mm-hmm. and life-changing, okay?
Yes.
Not superficial.
Not like the box of chocolates.
Life is a box of chocolates.
Whatever.
Anyway, go ahead. Wait, just go.
We'll be right back. What do you mean, let's go? If I want to stay, I want to stay. I want to stay on the show. We'll take a break. We got to take a break because Armin's getting upset over there. So I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Sunday, April 12th, is Divine Mercy Sunday. And the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago is at St. Stanislaus Kostka on Divine Mercy Sunday, April 12th. There will be masses in English, Polish, and Spanish. And English and Spanish confessions, the recitation of the Holy Rosary, and the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Bring yourself to Christ's infinite well of mercy. Divine Mercy Sunday, April 12th at St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. For complete information, go to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the link of the Holy Week schedule of services. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Hello, I'm William Neal of Project Fourth Stream. We will be performing a benefit concert with the church choir and guest soprano Josephine Stoppelberg on April 11th at 7:30 at St. Stanislaus Kostka Church in Chicago. We have entitled the concert Notris Voces, Out of Darkness into Light, because the music, quietly passionate and reflective, will explore the themes of darkness and illumination. Music is a blend of classical and jazz improvisation and has been inspired by the recently restored artifacts in the Church's Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy.
The Nostras Voces concert is a fundraiser for St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish, located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. The concert is this Saturday evening, April 11th, at 7:30. Tickets $25 for adults, $40 for families. That's adult parents with minor children. High school and college students, $10. Purchase tickets online by visiting sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. Tickets also available at the door the day of the concert.
Welcome back, everybody, and thanks for being with us as we wrap up for today. I'm off to a wake and then get back for confessions and Mass this evening, and tomorrow's going to be a busy day. It's every day is going to be busy now until November. So
that's just life.
Somebody asked me the other day. They said they wanted me to stop by their homes. They just wanted to talk about just life and misery loves company. And let's just dance and drink.
See if I can fit you in somewhere around December.
I said, you know, I said, I think I've got a free day in November. So her husband dragged her away quickly, you know. So, but anyway, no, it's just, you just don't know, right? You know, from here, we just know from one day to the next what's coming through the door. And
yes.
And it's always something. It's always something. There's nothing more dynamic. Well, I don't know if there's I guess anybody who lives in a family knows that family life is unpredictable from one day to the next. But
a big family, yeah.
A parish, you've got families, all kinds of things. And it's just, it is what it is. So, and it's a beautiful thing, too, but it's just, you know.
It's work.
It's anything but, is that all there is? It's an interesting song, though, isn't it, really?
It reminds me of, you know, the image you have of St. Stanislaus in the chapel, Father, and he's just laying there finally resting.
In the repose of death.
Yes, and it's like, and
he's not just resting, he's dead. That's
well,
a
he's
dead.
Dying. He's, well, yeah, he's
dead.
He's just dead, but what I'm trying to say is like St. Augustine when he said, I won't rest until I rest in thee.
Mm-hmm. That's right. No, that's it is a powerful image. I happen to be in San Andreas, the parish where he died as a young. He was only 19 years old.
Yes, he's young.
Like you said, if we had died and we were young, we would have been
saints
like perhaps.
Many of these
but
saints.
You know, no wonder though, some of those Saint Therese and all that, they were young, but he died at 19, but rather. Very heroic kind of a life, or very courageous, I should say. But he had a great passion for Christ and for Our Lady, and wanted so bad to be a priest. And everybody, you know, nobody wanted him. Mm-hmm. His parents, nobody, and his brother even.
Oh, his brother was
beat
terrible.
Him up and all that. And he, but he walked from Austria to Rome, and then he ended up joining the Jesuits. Mm-hmm. Went into the novitiate, and so the novitiate was right there at San Andreas, on the. Quirinale, it's the Quirinale Hill, one of the hills of Rome, and but they've got the room where he died, and so the statue that I have in my chapel is a little chapel of a little statue of his actual deathbed, mm-hmm. his deathbed. But like you said, and he was 19 years old, but there's something rather dramatic mm-hmm. that happens in that. Moment when we come out of time into eternity, that when the soul mm-hmm. leaves the body, and there is, and the body is, it's people, yeah, it's.
And then you see it. It's interesting. You've seen that, Father. You've experienced that. I haven't, where the person is giving their last breath, and how when the soul leaves the body, there's no life in the body
anymore.
The life
anymore.
Is gone. It's gone.
Sure, yeah.
And you could see that. It's just
immediately.
It's gone.
It's immediate.
You could see right away. You could.
Yeah, it's just it's one of the most interesting things. Really, mm-hmm. it is. It's because it is, you know. Because how can you walk away? You know, even though there'll be a certain amount of vigil mm-hmm. there. The vigil really happens in the process. But once. Mm-hmm. The death happens once there's that passing from this life into the next, and it's just very visible, very mm-hmm. real. The life is gone.
The only experience I had was with one of my little birds when it passed away, when it died. It gave its last breath, and it spread its wings out.
Really?
And then,
wow.
And then that was it.
Wow.
But it's a mystery.
It is. It really is.
But how God is, he's present.
And
you could feel his presence.
The presence is there, and I think I mentioned, you know, when my father died, it was very interesting, I thought, because we were all there, and in the moment of death, there was this release of grief. It was just like an energy, right? It happens. I see this, you know, there's, but then immediately, there was a peace that just kind of enveloped the entire room, and so there was a sense that all is okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's just almost as if Jesus, the risen Christ, saying, don't be afraid.
Be at peace.
Be at peace. Be at peace. Because I suspect that that anybody, if anybody could, those who have gone on from this life, passed on, I used to struggle with that idea of, you know, he says, well, he passed away or she passed away. But I said, well, no, that he died, she died.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand that this is really proper mm-hmm. for Christians to talk about the passing on, because mm-hmm. It's the experience of death is for those who are living. We have the experience of death, yes. But those who die have only the experience of life, because it's a passing on from this life to the other. It's like passing from one room into another.
Yes.
It's hard to describe that way once before. But how we got into that, I don't know. What provoked you to speak about that?
Well, we're in the season of Easter and
Easter,
the resurrection, life. And tying it in with God's mercy, the divine mercy.
That we've been called to share in the life of the risen Christ. Mm-hmm. And so it's not, as I said, it's not about dancing and drinking life away mm-hmm. to drown out the disappointments of life, but it's really having the question in the beginning, what words would describe Easter? It would be joy and peace and hope, mm-hmm. right? And light.
Life,
light, hope, peace, joy. But already experienced in the midst of the trials and the tribulations mm-hmm. and the oppressions and the disappointments and the depressions and the persecution and the stress. I mean, all these things that are part of all this constitutes life in this world, and it doesn't get, I'd say it doesn't really get better, I think, as we move along, because, mm-hmm. you know, the body gets old and it eventually, you know,
it breaks down.
Mm-hmm. But the spirit, on the other hand, the spirit is what is being constantly mm-hmm. renewed.
Yes.
And so St. Paul would speak about as the whole of creation is groaning and awaiting mm-hmm. its the full realization of its liberation, and that even we who have the Spirit of God, inwardly we groan as we await the liberation of our bodies, you know, that are, so there is this, if we speak of Jesus as having, that his humanity constrains his divinity while he's in the flesh, and then of course in the resurrection it's a full transformation, the resurrection of the body and the soul, that we too are I say we're swept up into the divinity of God, and this is what, into the mystery of his divinity, mm-hmm. and this is what allows us, gives us the grace necessary, not to despair, not to drown ourselves into some kind of a numbness, you know, where we're, but it's being able to find, even in all this, eager anticipation of what is yet to come, that all the world has taken away, God is going to give mm-hmm. back to us, even the vigor and the beauty and the wonder of our youth. So, yes. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow, God willing. Almighty God bless you now, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
Become so obscure, it does not take that long. Can you see?